Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Heavenly Father, you have promised in your word that wherever your word goes forth, it will not return void without accomplishing the purpose for which you sent it. And so we pray that you would accomplish your purposes in our lives this morning through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a fun story. It's actually a true story about a couple in 2014. What is that? 9 years ago? No, 11 years ago. Who were walking on some property that they owned in Northern California. And of course, they're anonymous because this happened and they don't want anybody to know who they were. So their name remains unknown. But walking along some property and they saw sticking up out of the ground an old rusty can, so big, you know, sticking up out of the ground. And one of them went and dug it up. And in that can, by the time they got home, it was so rusty, it was breaking apart, and it was very heavy and hard to carry. But by the time they got home, they could see gold coins as the can was breaking open. They could see gold coins inside that can. And that can and another one that was buried about a foot away contained over $10 million worth of gold coins. Wow. That never happens to me. But it'd be fun if it did, wouldn't it? We could imagine that. But I guess there are lots of people who through history have taken their valuables and in order to keep them, or at least thinking they would keep them, they have hidden them to keep them safe. This has been a common practice. You hear about this every now and then, somebody finding something very valuable in their attic, or, you know, something like that. Sometimes on Antique Roadshow, you see somebody who found something in their garage, or, you know, something in their attic, and it's worth a lot of money. And apparently this hiding things in the ground is common enough that it was even happening back in Jesus' day. And Jesus used it as a point of comparison in our lesson for today. Our lesson is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 13 and verse 44. It's only one verse. And here's what Jesus says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Well, that's our lesson, and it's the word of God upon which we want to meditate just for a few minutes this morning. It's such a short passage, isn't it? A whole parable wrapped up in one verse. And I'd like to point out three or four items of importance in that story, if I might. And the first one is actually the point of comparison itself. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this buried treasure. And what is the kingdom of heaven? What does he mean? Oops, this is somehow changed its position here. It's whacking me on the chin, and we'll see if we can make it not do that. Anyway, probably not. It's probably going to do it. I don't know. It's hanging down there. Well, we'll see. There it goes. Now it's up. Now it's up around my nose, I think. But anyway, it's hard to see. I just can barely see it. Anyway, so we would be mistaken to think that the kingdom of heaven is synonymous with the place where the pearly gates are. It's not exactly synonymous. It includes the place where the throne of God is, heaven, but it's a broader term. And this thing is shaking like this. I don't know. Anyway, I can see it wobbling out of the corner of my eye here. Anyway, oh well, sorry, that's off topic. Anyway, so what does Jesus mean by the kingdom of heaven? Well, there are some passages that explain it to us. And one of them is this. When John, it's just sagged back down. When John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 is proclaiming the kingdom of God. He says this, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, what was the job of John? His job was to pave the way for Jesus. And when he says the kingdom of heaven is near, he really means to say Jesus is near. And when you see that term kingdom of heaven, it's not a geographical location. It is the location wherever the king is. And so wherever Jesus is, there's his kingdom. And so when people gather on Sunday morning around the Word of God, or in a Bible class around the Word of God, or in here around the Word of God, or in private devotions around the Word of God, there's Jesus right there. That's the kingdom of heaven. And in the heart of every baptized believer, where Jesus has set his throne in their hearts, there's the kingdom of heaven. Where he is, there's his kingdom, okay? And so you just think about this. You are an outpost in this dark world. You are an outpost of the kingdom of God in this darkened world. Wow, that's kind of neat, you know, when you think about it. So that's the first thing. Is that point of comparison, the kingdom of heaven. Now, secondly, let's notice that this treasure is hidden. Not everybody sees it, right? In fact, who knows how many people have walked through that field before and never seen it. But this one guy stumbles upon it, apparently, in the parable, which a man found. It doesn't even say he was looking for it. He just found it, right? He's just walking along, and there it is. I just want to elaborate for a moment and then get off of that. And it is this. Most people do not know anything about the kingdom of heaven. They don't experience it because they can't see it. St. Paul says, we walk among the things that are unseen. And that's what he means. Is a kingdom that we recognize because the Word of God tells us it is there. And then we begin to experience it as a Christian. We will really experience it when we do get to heaven one day. But people who don't know anything about this, they have a word for people like you. Crazy. That you believe in something that you can't see. Jesus calls it blessed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. So notice that it's a hidden treasure, but then thirdly, notice that it is a treasure, right? And, well, why do about half maybe of the action movies have people searching for some hidden treasure? Well, because treasures are valuable, that's why. And treasures are valuable. I mean, that's why pirates are always risking their lives to try and gain treasure from somebody else, right? And thieves are trying to rob it from somebody else. And what is Jesus saying here? He's saying that this kingdom of heaven is very valuable. In fact, notice what this guy does. This man found it, and he hid it again. So nobody would know where it was. And for joy, he goes and sells everything he has, and then he buys that field. Wow. Jesus is saying this kingdom of heaven is more valuable than everything that guy owned. It's the same way with you and me, right? This is more valuable than anything else on this earth. Sometimes you see people make the opposite trade of this guy. Sometimes people trade Jesus for the things of this world, and they turn him loose. And this is what Jesus is saying. This is so valuable. Do not let go of it. Don't turn it loose for anything, right? That's what Jesus is saying. And why is it that it is so valuable? What is it that makes this treasure, this kingdom of heaven, so valuable that this guy would go and sell everything he has? And Jesus is saying that this is worth everything that you own. Well, let me just mention a few things, right? What would be the value of living in the presence of somebody who loved you so much that they gave up heaven and came down to this earth? And in spite of the fact that they knew who you were and they know what you're like, and they know what you're like in your private moments and the things you think about other people and the way you treat other people, and they know everything about you, your deepest, darkest secrets, and this person still loved you enough to give up heaven and come down for you. What would it be like to live in the presence of that Savior forever? You're in his presence now, but you don't see him yet. These eyes cannot see him. What would be the value of knowing that every sin that lies on your conscience is wiped away, wiped from existence by the blood of Jesus? It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Those sins, they just don't exist. You confess the same sin a million times because it lies so heavy on your conscience. And after the first time, God is saying, what are you talking about? What sin is that? Right? Because he's already wiped it away. How valuable would it be to have a family of fellow believers that will help take care of you when you have troubles? Right? This kingdom is hidden now, but because it is hidden from our eyes, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. In this life, and here's the deal, we live in two kingdoms. In this life, there's disappointment. In God's kingdom, there's no disappointment. In this life, there is pain. God's kingdom has no pain, not in the kingdom of heaven. The problem is that we live in both. And you know what it's like to live in both if you've ever faced the death of a loved one. And you've felt that terrible emptiness and the sense of futility as you stand there staring at them in the casket, their remains. And yet, while at the very same time you're sensing that, you're also sensing, wow, I'm sure glad the Lord makes no mistakes. And I'm sure glad my loved one is in heaven right now. And see, that's what it's like to live in both kingdoms. And so I'll admit our senses sometimes sense not the things of the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes because of that, we're tempted to throw it away. Jesus says, do not throw it away. It is a great treasure. And you, by faith, are holding on to a Savior who treasures you so much that he entered the world and gave himself for you. And so keep trusting him, my friends. He promises that your faith will not be in vain and that the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Would you please bow your head with me again? Gracious Lord, teach us to remember that we have no enduring home here on earth. Make us mindful of the shortness of our life and keep us ever mindful of our death so that we may not live unto ourselves but for you. Grant also that we would live with a cheerful faith and look forward to the day of our departure with a holy walk through this life, depending upon your grace. Also, Lord, this morning we commend into your hands our own Julie Keir, who is undergoing surgery today. And we ask you that you would grant to the surgeons and attending staff wisdom and ability, that this surgery would redound to her healing and to your glory according to your plans. And all of this we lay upon you, asking that you would grant our requests for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.